December 1992, 25 years ago this month, I made a call to Jim Plymail, Julie's father. I think he was expecting it, but it was going to be the big question of, can I have the privilege of marrying your daughter? So Julie and I started, you can see I had a beard then, look at that. Julie and I started dating in June the 19th, 1992 was our first date. And man, we just meshed very well. And after just a few weeks, we actually started talking about getting married. We were scared to death to tell our parents too early. So we waited. But actually, Julie and her mom went in September. Was it September or October? September? October. It was October. They went in October and actually, they already bought a wedding dress. Okay, so everybody knew it was coming. But two interesting things stand out to me as I called Julie's dad and we met at the Pizza Inn in DeSoto. All right. I mean, we were high on, real highfalutin there, pizza buffet at Pizza Inn. So I sat down and he had time to think about this. So I sat down and said, Julie and I, I've talked about our relationship and, getting married. So I want to ask your permission to have the privilege to marry her. And so he said a few things about her, her good qualities and characteristics. But one thing really stood out that I absolutely remember to this day. As he's sitting across the booth from me, he said, "Buddy, I just want you to know going in, she's high maintenance." He reminds me of that every once in a while too, but that's absolutely what he told me. Then the other thing I remember is at that time when I asked to marry him, he said, "Well, I think the answer is yes, but give me a few days to pray about it." That was his response to me. God created marriage. It was his idea. God saw in Genesis 2 that man needed someone to come alongside and to complement him. God not only gave the idea of marriage, he also gives the instruction on how a marriage is to work. So take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at just a couple of verses in our reading time, but we're going to keep this section open, Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verse number 22 and verse number 25. Ephesians 5, 22 says this, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Then in verse number 25, it says this, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." And with that, let's pray. God, speak to us and challenge us. Lord, for those of us who are married, I pray that you would just reignite a spark. Lord, for those who are single, I pray that you'd give them clear direction. Lord, for those who know children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, I pray that you'd give us wisdom and counsel and insight for days ahead as they look to us for wisdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. There are three great questions of life. The first great question of life is, who will be my master? Am I going to submit to the lordship of Christ and follow him? The second great question of life is, what will be my mission? What does God have for me to do? What is it? Now, this is not my vocation. Your vocation can change over life. But my mission is saying, look, we are going to go to church. We are going to be involved and invested in ministry. We're going to serve somewhere. You might start at one time serving in the student department. You may move down to, children. You may move up to adults. You may move around. You may go on mission. Listen, your mission may change even within the church. But you have a mission that says, we are going to serve the Lord. We are going to live to the glory of God. We are going to invest in ministry. We are going to make our lives count for eternity in service to God. Who is my master? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I do?" What is my mission? That fulfilling of Matthew 28, that great commission as we go forth into the world. And then that third question is, who will be my mate? We really need to have the first two questions answered before we pursue the third question. For many, God will bring someone into your life and you will have the opportunity to be married. But you need to make sure that you line up on the foundational issues of master and mission so that you're walking in the same direction. Or as Amos asked that question, can two walk together unless they are agreed? The issue is we need to think through and pray through, do I line up on the first two questions before I get married? As we think about marriage and the importance of family, I want to just give you an analogy of this. You can have the best day at work ever. It can be a tremendous day, and you come home to a house that is filled with strife and restlessness and bitterness and fighting. It will absolutely eclipse that good day you had at work. However, if you have a bad day at work and you walk into a house and you know that you are loved and you are cared for and you can laugh together and enjoy a meal together, you can salvage a bad day really easily, and you can turn it into a good day when you recognize the importance of home. Now, Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 may not jive with all of the PC culture in which we live, but we must understand that the one who created marriage is the best one on how to instruct us in marriage. So what I want us to do today is, first off, I want us to start with the men as we think about husbands. Now, it starts in verse 22 with wives, but it's playing off of verse number 21, that we both submit to one another in the fear of God. And then he naturally goes into the issue of wives. But I want us first to step and look at the work and the responsibility of the husbands. First off, guys, husbands are to lead the band. In other words, we are to be the leaders at home. Now, just like a band needs someone to say, hey, we're going to do this song next, and we're going to do it at this tempo, and we're going to do it in this key, and we're going to start together, one, two, three, and then we start. Someone has to lead the band. Now, listen, the person who leads the band may not be the most talented and the most gifted musician. There may be other musicians who are better than the one leading, but the leader is the one who ultimately sets the song and sets the tempo, sets the key. And that's the position of husbands. Husbands are to be the leader of the home. Notice in verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. And notice what it says in verse number 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Men, this tells us that we have the authority to lead. Just as Christ is over the church, the husband is to be head over the wife. The word head here, really, in the Greek, most of the time, pictures the physical head. When it is used metaphorically, it talks about authority and responsibility, specifically authority and responsibility to lead. Now, this does not mean that we as men sit back and get complacent and critical and we think that we're the Jabba the Hutt of our house and we can just tell everybody else what to do and how to do it. We are not to live dictatorial. We are, though, to be the leader. We are the leader of the home. Now, that leadership and the authority to lead that is to be teamed with the responsibility that we have to love. Notice verse 25, the verse that we read. That husbands, you are to love your wife just as Christ also loved the church. That means that our leadership is to be filled with love. Now, in our house, there are some aspects that Julie is much better in. She has a degree in accounting, so she handles the finances. Now, if we're going to make a major purchase, if we're going to do those kinds of things, then we talk about it and we work on that together. But we understand that there are strengths and weaknesses that we bring to the marriage. And we then permeate that strengths and weaknesses with a heart of love. Now, husbands, it tells us how we are to love our wives sacrificially, just as Christ loved the church. A sacrificial love. In other words, when we think of sacrifice, it is forfeiting something maybe that is valuable or that I want in my life for the sake of something or someone else. That's a sacrifice. I'm willing to lay something down over here that is of value to me so that I can do this over here. That's the picture of the kind of love that Jesus sets for us in marriage. It is a sacrificial love. As one person I read this week said, husbands, when it comes to sacrifice in our marriage, we should be the ones that are rushing to the cross first. That's the picture of the love that a husband is to have. It is to be a sacrificial love. But notice in verse number 26, it is to be a sanctifying love. He says this in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. A sanctifying love that seeks to help your wife grow in the Lord, that seeks to make her more pure and more clean and more devoted and draw closer to the Lord. Oh, how easy it is for us to lay spiritual authority and responsibility back to the background for our wife to handle when God speaks to husbands and he says, guys, you are to be the one who has responsibility here. And whether you like it or not, or whether it comes natural or not, you are to lead and you are to love. But then notice down in verse number 28 and 29. He says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Guys, the picture is we wake up every day and we feed ourselves. We take care of ourselves. Now, some of us don't take care of ourselves physically like we should because it means exercise, and that's uncomfortable. But all of us take time and eat every day. We see that donut on the table, and we think, hey, that looks like it's going to be pretty good. I'm going to take care of that myself. So anyway, the picture here for husbands in verse number 28 and 29 is that our love is to be nourishing. That's what he says, just as you nourish and take care. That's meeting the needs of your own body. Just as you meet the needs of your own body, you're to meet the needs of your spouse. And then he says, not only nourishes it, but cherishes. There is this high value that you place upon your spouse. This value that says, next to my walk with the Lord, more important than my career, more important, listen, than my children, more important than anything else is the relationship that I have with my husbands, with our wife. That's the most important. So husbands, we're called to lead. We're called to love. But then we also have this responsibility and humility to serve. We get the picture is that just as Jesus would nourish and cherish the church, we're to be humble. That doesn't mean that we sit back and we give our wife all the orders. That means sometimes, man, we pick up that dish towel too. Sometimes we're doing laundry. We have the humility that says, look, I'm not just going to boss her around. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and help too. That's part of love. That's part of leadership. It's not just bossing. It's rolling up our sleeves and getting involved. Husbands, lead the band and lead it well. Lead it with a heart like Christ that would sacrifice our own will and our own desires for the betterment of our mates. Now, husbands, that's our call. If you look at this section, the call to husbands is laid out. And the challenge is laid right before us that we're to lead and to love like Christ. Then we turn to the wife. Wives, just as the husband is the head of the home, the wife is to be the heart of the home. If we look at the picture that we see in Genesis chapter 2, we get a picture of God's intention for marriage. God's intention was this, Genesis 2:18. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable or a helper that is suitable to him. And then we look at the instruction in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husband. God's intention. I will just tell you without a shadow of a doubt, Julie is the heart of our home. She is. She's what makes our home fun. She's what makes the relationships all click. She's the one who holds everything together. So God's intention in Genesis 2:18 is that God would make a helper comparable or suitable, someone that would come alongside and complement the life and the work of the husband, that the two then would become one and serve together as a unit together, that they would come together and as their lives would weave together, that they would be a force for good and an example of Christ in a world in which people are looking for answers in relationship. So God's intention with the creation of man and the creation of woman was that they would complement each other. Not only do we see God's intention, but secondly, we see the picture of biblical submission. Biblical submission. Now, this is really where it gets, not politically correct in our day. When you start using the word submission in our culture today, around a bunch of folks who do not understand Scripture, do not believe that God created marriage, then you are just asking for a big major fight. Notice what it says, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now notice back up in verse 21 that one of the signs of filling of the Spirit is that we are to submit to one another in the fear of God. That there is to be a mutual submission. That I'm to be willing to lay down what I really want and yield my allegiance so that someone else can have the right of way to lead. But not only do we find mutual submission, but then Paul plays off of that in verse number 22 and he talks about marital submission. He talks about husbands being the leaders and the wives being the one who ultimately, when it comes down to it, submit. Let me picture it this way. Throughout our life and marriage, I don't think I've ever had to quote Ephesians 5:22. When we come to decisions in our life, most of the time, we talk about everything, especially big decision when it comes to a car or house or a major purchase, those kinds of things. We talk about things. When it comes to ministries or involvement in our calendars, we talk about things. And when we talk about those kinds of things, most of the time, we can come to a very good reconciliation and answer together, okay? Julie brings insight and intuition and wisdom and perspective that I don't have, and I bring some that she doesn't have. And when we talk through ideas or we talk through a plan together, most of the time I can listen to her, she can listen to me, and we can come up with an idea that really fits well. There are times, however, when you don't exactly come to the right conclusion together and you're not on the same page. And in those instances, the picture of biblical submission is that the wife would then yield allegiance to her husband. That's what it means in Ephesians 5:22. Now, as we think about that, there's a couple of thoughts. First off, submission is willingly yielding to the leadership of another. It's a willing, and wives, you are to submit to your own husband. That doesn't mean that every man in this world can boss you around or take this verse out of context or try to be a dictator to you. And even you as men, you shouldn't try to be a dictator to your spouse. Man, you listen, you love, and you lead like Jesus. But when it comes to that point where you're not exactly on the same page together, then someone has to make the decision. Submission is willingly yielding to the leadership of another. That's what he's talking about in Ephesians 5:22. Second, when we think about that, submission ultimately is not inferiority or passivity. It is not inferiority or passivity. And let me give you a great example of this. About 15 years ago, Julie and I we're feeling a tug in our heart. Maybe the Lord was going to do something different, and over 15 years now. And what was God doing? And someone put my name into the church in Georgia. And so we were going to Georgia to preach for a search committee for First Baptist Church of Hampton. We take off from Olive Branch and we drive about 90 miles and have a blowout. Brand new tires. We have a blowout in Tupelo. I was going about 75 miles an hour, scared me to death. Anyway, get on the side of the road, change the tire. We go to Walmart and get the tire fixed, and then we take off again. We go about 90 more miles in Jasper, Alabama. We have another flat. And, man, this is not good, all right? So, man, it has just been very stressful. We're already kind of stressed about the decision, and so we're on our second flat, and we meet some friends that are going to go over to North Georgia with us. We get off at the Kennesaw exit in North Georgia, just north of Atlanta, and we have another flat. And by now, I'm really thinking in my mind, what am I doing? And then we meet that evening with the chair of the pastor search team and have a great meeting. I preach at Wildwood Baptist in Ackworth, Kennesaw area. Two services that morning, have a great response, and the Lord just moves. The committee all comes up to hear me, and I'm supposed to drive down to Hampton about an hour away that evening. We pull out of the parking lot, and we have our fourth flat. We are in Walmart, and I say, I'm ready to go home. I don't care about Hampton, Georgia. I've never been there. I don't care if I ever make it there. I am just ready to go home right now. Let's just get the tire fixed, get back out on 20, and start heading west. And Julie says, no way. You are not doing that. We are not going to allow the devil to give us victory in this. You've got to see this all the way through. It may be that God wants us to move in our life, and she just goes on and preaches to me for a while. And then it's okay, the tire's fixed, and let's go to Hampton, Georgia. I did not need someone who was a passive mouse at that time in my marriage. I needed someone to come alongside and say, get your focus right. Okay? That's the issue in marriage. Submission means that, yeah, when we come to those issues where we're at a crossroads and we can't agree, that the husband is called to lovingly lead out in that decision. But the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of times when our wives come alongside and say, hey, buddy, get focused. Hey, look at this. Hey, get this right. Hey, you're not seeing the whole picture here. So it is not inferiority or passivity that you have to sit quiet and you can't speak until you're spoken to. That's not the picture of biblical submission at all. The third thing we find about submission is submission ultimately brings freedom. Submission brings freedom. People in our society think, man, submission, that means I gotta have this yoke and this anchor that I carry. That's not the picture of biblical submission at all. Submission means freedom. Let me illustrate it this way. For 5 years, I was on staff at churches. When there was an issue, when there was a decision, when there was a challenge, someone came to me about something, I'd say, let me check with the senior pastor on that, or the senior associate on that. And I'd go and say, what do I need to do? And then I'd turn around and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And if you don't like it, you can take it up with him. Being submitted under someone else's leadership brought great freedom in my life. Because however they responded, they didn't have an issue with me. They had an issue with someone else. So that was the first 5 years of ministry. For the last 21 years of ministry, it's been a little bit different. Because as senior pastor, you're ultimately sometimes that person who has to make that decision. Can I tell you, in my 5 years on staff at churches, I never was awake in the middle of the night because someone was upset about something. I never had to feel like I had to carry this huge and tremendous weight and burden on my life. Why? Man, I was submitted under a leader, and I just had the freedom to say, this is what the leader says, and you can like it. I hope you do, but if not, then you can take it up with the person who's in charge here. So wives, listen, there is beautiful freedom in submission that is this. God, as far as I know, my husband is seeking your face and listening, but he's making this decision. I'm over here, he's leading this way, and Lord, I'm going to willingly yield to his allegiance, and God, I'm just going to duck and let you take care of him. That's the picture. The picture is there's great freedom in submission that people miss because they do not understand what biblical submission really is. Husbands, we're called to lead the band. Wives, provide that heart, that heart of coming alongside it and intentionally seeking to complement, seeking to submit and support his leadership. But then thirdly, there's this picture of genuine admiration that comes into play. Notice with me in verse number 33. Verse number 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife. There's that word again, guys. Man, we cannot escape it in this section. Love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. There's that picture of respect, that picture of esteem, that picture of showing concern and respect for. So the picture of the life is that there ought to be a sense, wives, that your husband wants to be admired and he wants to be respected for the leadership that he is trying to provide in your home. Husbands, lead well like Jesus. Wives, come alongside and be that heart of a husband. Thirdly, together, both of you, embrace the sacredness of marriage. Together, both of you, embrace the sacredness of marriage. As you embrace the sacredness of marriage, you understand the word picture that Jesus is using in Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. He is picturing marriage as this relationship between Christ and the church, this precious relationship that he even calls a mystery, marriage, Christ, the church. We embrace that Jesus would say in Matthew 19, as he would quote, that man should leave father and mother, and what God has joined together, let not man separate. There is this sacredness. Jesus' love will never fail, and men, we are to stand up and stretch our lives even to the point of sacrificing, even when it hurts, to show love. And as we lead, wives, we need you alongside to embrace that sacred picture of Christ and the church coming together. Now, I realize in our sinful world, that doesn't always work out. One reason or another, it doesn't. But what I do know is as we come today to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we get to see the sacrificial love of Christ given as a genuine object lesson to us. That his love would sacrifice so much that he would allow his body to be beaten and bruised and crushed. And he would spill his blood. His blood would be shed for us so that we could experience the free gift of eternal life and forgiveness. It came through a sacrifice. That's that picture of how we are to love. And as his love never fails, the Bible reminds us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together in just a few minutes. And if you've never experienced the forgiveness that comes through Christ and his sacrifice, his death on the cross for you, then as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, you may just have the elements pass you by. 1 Corinthians 11 says that it is something that we do in remembrance of Christ. We do this in remembrance because we've received him in our life and we're reminded of his sacrifice and his love for us. And then Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 11 not to take this in an unworthy manner, not to take the Lord's Supper in a way that I can live my own life and, oh yeah, man, I can have a little Jesus too. He says, because some of you are taken in an unworthy manner, he says, some of you, God has even disciplined to the point of being sick, and some, he says, even sleep. It's that love of Jesus that is shown to us today. And that love really sets the standard for us as husbands. Maybe some of you men need to come and just pray today. You don't have to say anything to me or Jerry or Tim. You don't have to speak at all to any of us, but maybe you just need to speak to the Lord. Maybe some of you wives today need to speak to the Lord. Maybe some of you today have never trusted Christ. You don't know what it is to remember Christ because you've never received Him. As we have our time of invitation right now, God's speaking to you, and there's a decision that you need to make. Maybe you need to say, Lord, man, I'm willing to do what you want me to do.